Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for being a part of our broadcast once again. We are excited to be back in the studio on this beautiful day, and we just want to be able to be blessed and just be highly favored of the Lord. And we've had some good guests this last couple of weeks since we've been recording and doing our shows live again. But let me tell you some exciting things I'm so excited about. You're like, David, you're always excited. David, you're constantly always excited about something. You know, I think that as a Christian, and most importantly, as a minister, I'm not only a host, but I'm also a member of faith. And I think that we have to be excited. I mean, we have to be excited for God's work, God to do work with us or in us, and for faith just to jump up and reach where it needed to reach, we have to be excited. There's no doubt, my friends, that there has to be an excitement in our heart. There has to be an excitement in our mind. There has to be an excitement in our walk, because we have to anticipate what God is going to do. We have to anticipate how God is going to do something. Unless we're excited, it's going to be hard to get through things. You know, I was reading an article today just to kind of go along with this. And Stuart Scott, who is one of the ESPN, and that's sports for those that don't know it, network, ESPN network. He's one of the hosts for the ESPN. He was diagnosed with cancer, I think, back in 07 and had some treatment done. And oh, then 2011, it was back again. Well, guess what? He got diagnosed again. And this week, 2013, he found out that the cancer has reappeared itself. And instead of holding his head down, instead of just feeling completely doom and gloom, he just said, "I appreciate the prayers." And I'm paraphrasing. He goes, "But they picked the right guy, because I'm going to fight. And I will fight hard." And another thing he put that was really interesting was, he goes, whether you go through the chemo treatment or not, you're going to feel horrible. And when you go through it, he goes, you're not going to feel like you want to do anything. So you can be either in bed, at home, or at work, or I choose to be working out. And even though I feel horrible, I still go do my PX90 and a couple other things he does. And that really was interesting to see someone say, you know what? I can look at life, and I can look at what the cards I was dealt, and be with my head doom and gloom. And you look at a guy that could be saying these things, and could be saying, "I just don't know what I want to do." You know, you can go through a hard time, and having a sickness is a hard time. You can go through this hard time and be discouraged and be distraught and be completely destroyed in your daily day. I mean, you're going to have to walk this out. If you're praying for a miracle, you still got to walk it out. It sometimes they happen automatically, and most times you're going to have to walk it completely out. There are going to be days where you're disappointed and discouraged. There's going to be days when you don't want to get up. There's going to be days when you just want to stay inside, and there's going to be plenty of those days where you just get depressed. I was watching one of the videos that they sent me. I have so many videos stacked up for the show here for me to review and for me to bring on guests on there, and I probably passed the dates on some of these, but one of them I really enjoyed, and I would forget the name. It was about a young lady that was discouraged. She had to have surgery, and when she had surgery, she just did not want to go out anymore, and She was completely destroyed and completely psychologically just out of it. No, you know, don't even try and bring faith into the question. Psychologically, she just did not want to even do anything. She's seen herself different. Of course, she had to have her breast removed, and when she had a hard time dealing with that. And we had the guest on the show that produced it, of course, back in September, I believe. And that show was interesting because it just made me realize, you know, when, as a healing evangelist, as a minister, you go out and you pray for people. And I'm at a point in my life right now that I'm determining, you know, what's my strengths in ministering and in broadcasting. And I'm seeing myself as a great encourager in faith. And as a great healer in faith. And I look at that and I see people so discouraged. But you know what? I have not lived their day. I have not walked their walk. There has not been a time where I have did the walk that they had. Whether physical pain, whether it's financial, whether it's a marriage that's gone bad. Whether it's a loss of a child. And we've seen that recently in our beautiful United States of America. Tragedies, bad reports, bad news will hang over your head. Regardless if you lay in bed, regardless if you go to work, or regardless if you just try and escape yourself away from everybody, they will continually lay over your head. And I'm telling you this and giving you some basic illustrations to encourage you. To tell you this, my friends, like the ESPN TV host there, sportscaster, is that what they call them, I guess? And they all have to do one thing. They have to live and choose how they will handle today. Later on in the show, we're going to have Sherry Kagi. She's going to share you some very personal testimonies about her life and her ministry. She is a beautiful singer for the Lord, and I'm sure she's going to share some testimonies that are going to encourage you, and this is probably why the Spirit is going this way to prepare that part. We're going to play a song of hers in just a bit. In just a bit. But think about this, friends. Excitement, faith, these things go hand in hand. When you trust God, you put it in God's hand. You go on with your day. And you go forward. It is hard to do anything. It is very difficult to get anything done when there's a financial problem in your home, when there is a sickness in your home, when there is a loss or tragedy in your home. You're lost in your heart. You're lost in your mind. I don't want to say lost. I would probably use the word you are distant. You are distant. And, you know, the word, I think, and the word I'm seeing when I'm speaking these words to you is the word disconnected. The word disconnected. And I think that is a very strong word to say that you're disconnected. You're disconnected. Why? Well, you ever gone to a funeral and you've lost someone? People are there. Now, they genuinely love you. Prayingly, they do. They genuinely care about you. But you're kind of lost in the moment there. You're kind of sitting there, going through the motions, you know, viewing the casket. You know it's final. You know it's done. This is no, you know, this. It's very rare they have them the same day the person passes. It's probably been 4 or 5 days. And it's you're just going through the motions, but everyone's shaking your hands and saying the forever, ever word that they always say, we're sorry for your loss. I don't see where that helps, but we're sorry for your loss. It's just so redundant. It sounds insensitive. You know, it's like say something original, just say, I love you. And as if there is anything I can do. I mean, would that be better than we're sorry for your loss? Anyway. That's a whole other subject, and I covered it a couple of months ago, that same thing. But think about this. When you're going through all that, and you're feeling the way you're feeling, and you're not having anything else in front of you, but people shaking your hands, everybody walking by you, everybody just saying goodbye or whatever, During that moment, you feel disconnected. During that moment, you don't feel like holding any strong conversation, much less, you know, pray, much less figure out how things are going to work out. And thank God for good friends and good family that help you get to those moments. And I'm not ragging on that. And I'm not saying this is going to happen to anyone. I am just saying this. Faith requires you to step out of the doom and gloom. Step out. Oh, I am given this to walk. And I'll never, ever get out of it. You got to step out of the sickness and step in front of God with the word of God and with excitement. Step out of the situation. Because how many times are we told that the situation doesn't determine the outcome? Faith, what is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, but not yet seen. Hallelujah. That is what God is telling me in my heart to tell you. Whatever situation you're in, you know, I remember several times in my life, I could have kept my head down. I could have said, oh, I don't have this. Oh, I lost that. Oh, it's not going to be the same. They have passed on. Oh, and I could have kept on going that way. I could have kept on crying that way. And I'm not saying you don't mourn. You mourn. I'm not saying when you hear bad news, you don't get sad. Of course you get sad. But there is a time. There is a point when you get out of the situation and you get in front of God. There is a time when you shake yourself off the dust, the dirt. You do like King David did in the Word of God, and you go wash your face. You get something to eat to nourish yourself. And you look to heaven and you say, God, I'm going to go forward. I leave this in your hands. You are the one that makes the final decision in my destiny. I yield to you. I claim my healing. I claim my financial breakthrough and freedom, and I'm here in freedom. My financial freedom. I claim the marriage is fixed. I claim, even though I'm broken, I will not break. Hallelujah. Can you say that? Even though I'm broken, I will not break. And you just completely put your heart in God's hands. You completely trust Him. You completely say, God, no matter where it is I am today, I will follow you. How many of us can say we've done that? How many of us out there can really say that when doom and gloom is hit, and I like that title, I'm gonna have to write this down, doom and gloom. When doom and gloom hits, how do we react? Well, there's a natural reaction of just standing there and just being numb and not knowing how to respond, and that's fine. But when you've had time to soak it in, and you've looked at all your options, and when you've had time to put yourself in it and figure out what God is doing, then, my friends, you figure out for yourself where God can help you, where God can heal you, where the breakthrough can come through. And God will respond in faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Lately, I've been looking through the internet and reading different articles, and this is for another show. It is for another show. But I see so many things out there that just make me frustrated. I don't think I'm ready to go on the air with it yet. I need to do some more prayer on it. But I just see people's beliefs not even there. Famous people, people of great wealth, people that had great things happen in their lives, people of fame, completely away from God. Completely atheists, whatever you want to call them, people that don't even acknowledge that God exists, don't even acknowledge God for who he is. Oh, it wakes up a very fiery, fiery portion of faith in my life. A fiery faith that I say, Lord, how can they not believe? Look at all that you've done for them. Look at all the things that have happened in their life. Who do they call when they're sick? Who do they trust on when impossibility comes into the picture? What do they do when their lives are hanging on the fringe? I don't know about you, my friends, but I've looked at that and it's troubled me. For the last 2 weeks, it's troubled me. And something recently as well, in the last few days, that I found online reading about just America and the craziness that things are going through. And I'm not getting on my soapbox, I promise. But I do tell you this. At no time in our history, in the United States of America, have we been so close to being like Sodom and Gomorrah. A place without faith and completely challenged God and his authority. It completely disavowed God, and a place of homosexuality. This is a sad, sad time in our culture. And I completely believe in my faith in God. And that's the only reason I share this, is because I believe in God. I believe what the Word of God says. I believe what the Word of God says. There's no doubt in my mind of what is God's law, God's life. And when I look at that, and we talked about doom and gloom, when doom and gloom does come, when it hits a person's home, no matter the wealth, you know, look at someone that went on to the other side, as the people have said at his funeral. And you look at the guy that rescued Mac and Tosh, Steve Jobs. You look at this guy. Built a boat that looks like an iPhone. Never got to ride it, though. Very expensive boat. A yacht. And you look at all the life that he's had, and he did not believe in God at all. You look at all the money this man had. You look at all the things this man had, and he did not believe in God. And no matter all the money in the world, all the physicians in the world, no matter what money he had and what popularity he had and who he knew, it did not help him at the end. His life was taken by disease. By sickness. Now, I'm not saying good people don't die, and I'm not saying that this was a mandate from God. But I am saying this, my friends. Know who you believe in. Know who you live with. Know who you are part of. Not one day is promised to anyone on this earth. Know today. Who is God and how God loves you. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. If you ever want to call in for prayer or just leave a message for us to call you back, please give us a holler at 888-642-4767. Again, that phone number is 888-642-4767. Anytime you want to make a call, please do it. It's set up for this program particularly, but we also use it for the ministry. So sometimes you'll go through some ministry lines. It's good for the big bookstore as well. And you just dial it, and usually it patches to one of us, and we'll pray for you. We don't have no designated number for prayer line. I think we do, but I don't remember. I think it's 7. I think 7 is the prayer line. I think 5 is a bookstore. or one of those things. Either way, you're going to probably talk to me. I've talked to several people on it. Again, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. I'm going to just play you a sample of Sherry Kagi's music for just a few minutes, and I'll be right back.
I believe that through a lot of trial in my life and hardship that we all face, that that really God has given me some gold. And when He gives you some gold, you have a responsibility to share it. And I feel like this is my season of pouring out this gold, and that this record, So I Can Tell, is that phrase, I have heard the truth, so I can tell, and now bring encouragement to others.
I've heard the truth, so I can tell.
Romans 15:13 is really, I think of it as a benediction. Of course, it's right out of Scripture, so I can't take much credit. But it's, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may know and overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love including Scripture in my music because, to me, it gives it validity. It's not just my idea or my whim or how I was feeling that day. It is truth. It's God's truth, and it stands. And so that's going to be the album closer, Romans 15:13.
His love endures forever. We walk in Him.
There was a long season where I was in kind of a survival mode, and this record is the first record that I've recorded after a divorce from marriage to my high school sweetheart. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness, because I did go through a long season of not writing at all because I was just surviving. But then God prompted me to sit down at the piano once more. This was after the divorce, and after I'd moved from one house to another and was somewhat exhaling. And so all I had to do was just pour through my journals and see the little notes that I take throughout my life. And then it was just, I don't know how you would describe it, just one song after another that flowed fairly easily.
Grace, so I will be gracious. I was shown mercy, so I will be merciful and kind. I have been loved to be lovely, yes, but that I might love well. I've heard the truth, so I can tell.
Amen, amen. That was Miss Sherry Kagi, and she's going to be with us in just a few minutes, actually in about 7 minutes. And I just wanted to just play a quick little promo of some of her stuff. I thought it was a song, and it was more of a promo thing, and that's fine. You got to hear her voice and hear her music and actually give you a little bit of information on why she put the songs together and everything. So I think that's awesome. And, just before we go into the next segment, which will be our interview part of the show, don't worry about doom and gloom. I tell you what, every day is a faith minister. There's always some kind of gloom coming in, and there's always some kind of doom coming in. Gloom means, oh man, it's horrible, I can't get through this. Doom means there's a deadline and I'm not going to make it. Basically, that's what it means. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that God is victory over all circumstances. And I'm always impressed with this scripture. No matter where I'm going, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me. In other words, I don't care if it's the government. I don't care if it's the government being, I'm not trying to get political. Please forgive me if I am. I'm just saying, I don't care if there is finances, health, or anything that is coming against you. It will not prosper. You pray. You pray. If you are in a spot, you pray. You believe, but you got to get out of the situation. Get out of the doom and gloom situation and stand up and start praying. Start lifting your hands. You know, my blessings have always come in when I praised him. My blessings have always came in when I took my mind off the problem and put my mind and spirit in his hands. And you know, he will take care of things for you. Thursday show, we're going to talk about India. I'm going to try and get Miguel Renteria and George Vargas on the phone with me and get them also on a Skype interview later on. And that's another thing. Sherry's going to be on a Skype interview when we're done. All right, we'll be back. God bless.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do?
Ever thought about numbers? They surround us. Phone numbers, social security numbers, house numbers, credit scores, our age, our bank accounts. Throughout life, we can't get away from numbers. Some numbers help us and certain numbers hurt us. But I have great news for you today. Welcome to One Impact Life. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute show that will impact your life and the lives around you. Numbers are woven throughout God's story from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelations. God uses numbers to reveal his strength and his purpose. It is filled with extraordinary stories of ordinary people, just like you and me, that God chose to use to impact the world. But I've noticed he especially likes to use the number one. God chose one man, Abraham, and promised him that he'd be the father of many nations, that from one man, his descendants would number more than all the stars in the skies. But it seemed impossible to others that an old man and his wife too old to bear children would be blessed with a son of their own. But because of Abraham's faith, he became the father of God's chosen children. In the book of Judges, God chose one man, Gideon, to fight the Midianites. So Gideon gathered up 32,000 warriors. But that number wasn't the number God chose. He told Gideon to narrow it down to 300 men, even though they were up against 72,000 Midianites. God knew that 300 was the perfect number for victory, and it was. It just took one boy's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for Jesus to feed 5,000. God chose one boy, David, to defeat Goliath when the whole entire Israelite army was too afraid to face him. God chose one woman, Ruth, to ensure that Jesus' birth line remained guaranteed. God chose one brave queen, Esther, who saved the lives of thousands of Jews when she dared to enter the king's quarters and begged him to change the law that would have killed them all. But most importantly, God chose one man, Jesus, his one and only son, to save humankind and give us eternal life. One life, one way, one salvation, one sacrifice, one Lord, one Lamb, one Savior, one name upon which every knee in heaven and earth will bow. And today, the number one is still important to God. He just needs one person like you, willing to use what you have to impact another life. Now you might be thinking, Terry, how could God use me? I've made so many mistakes, more mistakes than I could ever count. Listen to me. That is when God can use you most. Even if the numbers in your life don't seem to be adding up right now, God has your number. He is the one who knows you best and loves you most. Do you hear that? He is the one that knows you best and loves you most. He fashioned you in your mother's womb and ordained all your days, every single one, before one of them came to be. Psalm 139:16. He made you unique and special with gifts and dreams and contributions that you alone can share with the world. Won't you join me today to change the world, one life at a time? He's waiting for you. I'd love to hear from you, so if you have any questions or comments, visit me at www.oneimpactbible.com. So until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Change a life and make your one impact.
Welcome back to the show, and this is your host, David Yanez. And of course, we've been just talking about different things, talking about living life and just trusting God that He's going to get you out of any situation that you're in, even when you don't feel like you're going to get there. God will get you there eventually. And we play a little bit of Sherry's music. We have her, Miss Sherry Kagi. Say hi to everybody, Sherry.
Hello.
And it's good to have you, my sister. And you've been doing a lot of things. I've been keeping up with you. And I get a lot of press releases from your publicists. And it's amazing what God is doing with you. It is just amazing. And you've been in ministry for quite some time.
I've been doing this for some time now, yeah, for many, many years. I think even probably easily 20 years or so. And God's been really good and so faithful to have used the trials in my life to birth songs that then help other people somehow in their walk of faith. And so I just feel so grateful to be in this season of ministry where He's just allowing me to go out and do that. So,
amen. You just released a CD this past summer, correct? A new one?
Yes, a new one. Mm-hmm.
And tell us about that. I mean, it was something that God put on your heart to start writing? And
yes, I've done several albums through many years, but this album is unique in that it was born out of, some of the darkest times in my life. And really in 2010, I refer to that year as my epic year, where in a 6-month period of time, it was just a lot of change and loss. And it was my daughter's high school graduation, my son's wedding. My grandmother died. 2 months later, my grandfather died.
Wow.
I had to do a short sale on a house we lived in for 12 years and a move to where I am now. And in all of that, my 22-year marriage to my high school sweetheart was ending in divorce.
Oh, my.
And so, that's not the story I thought I'd be here on this interview talking about. But this album is basically, kind of the songs that were birthed out of that, and such an example to me of how God can bring beauty from the ashes of our lives. And so He definitely has done that. And, we don't like to go through pain and suffering and loss and grief and all those things, but when we'll remain pliable, when we'll not turn against God in bitterness and anger, but that we'll remain pliable in His hands, He will bring something beautiful out of those trials. And that's the season that I'm in after a long winter season. I feel like I'm in a little bit of a spring right now, and
amen.
So grateful.
Amen. So, there's that's a big testimony that even through your, that was a hard year. That was a difficult year for anyone, just one of those things, or even two of those things to happen to someone's life. That's a lot to carry and to hold the family together as well, and keep everything running and moving. What got you through it? I mean, what were some of your daily things that you could encourage some people and just to get through a hard time, not necessarily just divorce, but just a time where you don't feel like talking to anyone? I'm sure that was in your situation as well.
Well, I will say that I did feel really kind of carried and buoyed by the body of Christ in that time. But it did require me reaching out for help. I had a lot of needs. But I reached out for help, and God brought people from the beautiful family of God,
amen,
with different areas of expertise and different ways to help me and very practical things that I needed, just, you know, with finances. And I had never done taxes before, and I was in this position of having to do that for the first time, and different things, so many things. But I will say I sort of developed a motto. It's very simple, but I was many days just so overwhelmed in my circumstance. And if I looked at the whole thing, you know, you might want to just call in a hole. But what I would do is just the next thing. And that sort of became my motto, just do the next right thing.
Amen.
And you know, I didn't know what my future was going to be. In fact, I remember going to a church service at my home church in Nashville in the middle of all of this upheaval, and I was still holding out hope that God was going to do a miracle in our marriage, but I didn't know yet what was going to happen there. I didn't know yet where I was going to live, even though our one house was on the market, and I didn't know, was I going to be single the rest of my life? I mean, just was just so much change all at once. But I went to church, and the pastor preached a sermon on the three things we need to survive. And I was so broken and so overwhelmed, just reeling, really. And so I was so listening, and just I knew enough that if I would just show up, you know, even though it was hard to drag myself to church, I felt as though God would meet me in some way, and that there would be an encouraging word that I didn't want to miss. And so I kind of forced myself to go. And the pastor preached this sermon on the three things we need to survive, and he said simply, air, food, and God's presence.
That's powerful.
Yeah, and it was such a simple sermon, but for me, as I counted up those three things, I realized, you know, I may not know all these questions over here, but I have those three things, and really I have everything I need in Christ. And so it was a huge turning point for me. You know, I had so much fear about my future, and God brought me, yanked me back to a place of faith, and I knew that the God who sees saw me in that moment and was able to, you know, just kind of move forward and go, okay, I'm somehow going to survive this. And now looking back, I see that not only did I survive it, but God has enabled me to thrive through it, you know?
Yes.
Thrive as a result of it because of that very thing, you know, and he will use those very hardest things that we would never wish for. He will use those very things to bring beauty, you know, to bring beautiful from broken. So anyway,
yeah,
I'll let you talk.
No, that was, I love hearing you talk. I know you're encouraging people. One thing that I love that you said, I loved everything you said, but one thing that really stuck out to me was that you had an attitude of just, okay, God, I'm not, you know, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to walk this out. And you didn't get angry at God. You didn't scream at God. And a lot of people don't realize, even when they're given some kind of bad news, that you have to just walk into the, step out of the situation where you're at and just praise God and stick with God.
To choose it. And that's not to say, David, that there weren't times where I was angry at God, because I had stood and believed. I had done everything that we're taught as believers to do, to pray and to fast and to memorize scripture and to seek godly counsel. And, you know, all of these things I had done that you're supposed to do in a hard situation, and yet I wasn't getting the outcome that I had hoped for with my marriage. And so there was, you know, snapshot moments where I was angry at God. Well, God, you know, you said if I do this, then this, you know. and yet I was bringing that anger to God and choosing, you know, like you said, choosing to praise him anyway, because really, honestly, where else am I going to turn, you know?
That's true.
I knew I had to keep turning to God in all the range of emotions that I was experiencing in that time. And, you know, and believe that while sometimes our circumstances seem out of control, that he is never out of control. He is still sovereign. And even though I didn't get the outcome I had wanted, he is still sovereign above that. And you know, I have a friend who says often that he never said that our circumstances would be good, but that he would use them for good.
Amen.
And that's what he's done.
Amen. And it's okay to get angry. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be frustrated. But, you know, but you just get yourself out of that eventually. And you start focusing on God. And things are going to change. Things are going to change. Now, the 2010 and now 2012 are night and day, correct? I have seen the things that God has just done in this last year in your ministry. And he, I love this, that God raises you up. Amen. It wasn't you going out there trying to get raised up, but it was God just opening doors and you just walked through that next door and walked through that next door. And I mean, you've been on television shows. You've been at the Nashville concert at Steinway Piano Gallery. You Dove winner. Your single topped the charts, correct?
I've had some good interest again at radio some of this came out of obedience. There was a long season, David, where I wasn't writing new music in my circumstance. I mean, my last album before this release was in 2007.
Wow.
So you see, there was a lot of years in there where I was surviving life, doing life. I was still going out and ministering, and God was still using me based on all the songs I'd written before, but I wasn't in a free space. It wasn't his timing for me to write this new material. But then I went to a conference after I got through all of that epic year. I went to a women's equipping conference in North Carolina, and God was really clear with me. You know, there are those milestone moments where you really feel you're hearing from the Lord. And it was at that conference that I felt him saying, it's time to write again. And I can't explain it. There were just certain teachings and certain scriptures that came to the forefront that weekend that I knew that was his directive. I have a friend who says, you know, she gets her marching orders. So I knew his marching orders for me were to go home and sit my butt down on that piano bench and begin to write again. And then is when the songs poured out. And it was just a matter of obedience. It's not like I had all these great ideas. I just knew that I was supposed to, I just knew that much. I was supposed to sit at the piano, and then the songs came, and it was God's timing. So that's an encouragement for your listeners, just the blessing that comes with obedience. And we don't have to know, like when we're responding to the call of God, we don't need to know what that looks like. Like I didn't know when I, you know, began to write those songs, even what the next step, was I going to be able to record the songs. I wasn't on a major label like back in the day, in the early days. And, you know, there were a lot of things I had to navigate, and God had to provide the funds for the album, so many things. But I did that first obedience,
amen.
You know, and then he shone, is that the word?
Yeah.
He shone his light on the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And here I am, and he's been so good and so faithful.
Amen. Now, how's the album doing since it's been out?
It's doing great, I think. I am enjoying going around and singing and ministering these new songs. And, you know, I have people saying, gosh, you know, I needed this album 3 years ago. Or, you know,
amen.
Someone, you know, they were going through their crisis. But I'm finding people are buying, they're purchasing large quantities of the album because they know of people in their life that are really in hurting place.
Amen.
You know, and it might not be just divorce. It could be, you know, cancer, or it could be death of a loved one, or just all kinds of just hard places, loss of jobs. And so they want to pass this music out. And so that just blesses me that God would see fit to take my pain and now use it, you know, to minister to someone else. It just makes it worthwhile, and he won't waste our sufferings if we'll remain pliable through it. You know, if we'll let him do the healing work that needs to happen in our hearts. And I found that that he is Jehovah Rapha, you know, the Lord who heals.
Amen.
And he when we allow him to heal us in our hurt places, you know, it does take some cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You know, we got to sit at his feet. We got to chew on his word. You know, we've got to allow him access to our hearts. But when we do and we sit under his healing love, the sky is the limit, you know, what he can do with a freed vessel. You know, I could have, in other words, I had every reason to be bitter. you know, to harbor unforgiveness in my heart, you know, to, you know, but instead I just allowed God to heal so that I could be a free vessel for him to use. And what a privilege, you know, to be used of God for anything, in any way at all, to just even be able to speak his name in a way that would breathe life to someone. I'm just really humbled by all of that and just along for the ride.
Amen. Amen. I liked how you answered the question, how's this album? Because most of the artists, I've had plenty of them on the show, and you're not knocking any of them, but most of them just jumped to the sales and top charts and stuff, but you jumped automatically to testimonies, and you jumped automatically to prayer, and you jump automatically to helping others with it. And not that those things are important. I mean, you need finances to come in, and sales are great, but I see your heart right away. It's just, you want to be a blessing, and God will use someone that just wants to be a blessing, and you trust in him. And I just want to encourage you on that. Are you going to be at the are you going to be at the NRB this year, at the one
Yes, I am. It's coming to Nashville, so I'm excited about that. We'll get to do some more interviews.
Well, I will see you there.
Oh, great. I hope to get to then meet you in person. You know, the whole thrust of this album, the whole message is, you know, we can take from the title cut and the hook line is, I have heard the truth so I can tell. You know, when we've gone through something and we've experienced the bigness of God in our circumstance, it's sort of a natural result, you know, to tell. We're compelled to tell what he has done.
Amen.
You know, if he could do this for me, he could do this for you. He will do it. You know, he will pull you through. He will see you through the worst of circumstances. When the thing you fear the most happens in your life, will you trust that his grace is sufficient? It's in those times that we really decide what's important. You know, will we continue to stand on what we know is truth, even when everything around us, the ground around us, is shaken and broken up? Will we still stand on that firm foundation of Christ? And that's, you know, that's the place I came to. And you know what? His foundation is sure.
Amen. Amen. And he's using the testimonies to bless people. And that's the amazing, amazing thing that he can use those testimonies. Now, 2012, what was the most exciting thing for you this past year?
This was such a great year for me. God just showed up so mightily. It's so hard for me to...
Why don't you just share a few of the things? You don't have to be just one. You can share several.
Yeah. I mean, God's provision for the album, for example. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it takes thousands of dollars, you know, to record a record and to, you know, get it manufactured and such, and pay the musicians and all of this. And God just provided the funds in a huge way through the body of Christ, and that was awesome to just step out in faith and go, okay, God, here's these songs. You told me to write songs. I wrote the songs. Now what do I do, you know?
Yeah.
So God was provided in that, but also I just see, the healing work he's doing with my children. You know, I have young adult children, a son who's married, and a daughter who's a junior in college and still lives with me as she goes to college down the road, and just seeing... you know, seeing God do healing in their hearts, you know, from the wounds that they carried coming out of just, you know, a broken family. And a verse that I always clung to and continue to cling to is in 2 Timothy, where it talks about the Lord is able to keep that which we've entrusted to him, or that which we've committed to him, until the day of Christ Jesus. And so, you know, when we think of our loved ones, and certainly, you know, we want, as parents, we want to shield our children from any kind of pain at all. But, you know, we live in this world, and the reality is brokenness and hurt. And so I just keep, you know, entrusting them to God, and I'm seeing God healing in their hearts. And, I mean, so that's a big thing. It's not a number one single or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people that I love, so... I think what else has been really, really big. Being in a place, you know, there's a song on this album called Starting a New Year Today. And in the bridge, you know, I borrow some verses from Isaiah, but I love the bridge. It says, yours is a story of winter, but my child, you have believed that I am the author of your life, and now I am writing your spring. Mm. And, you know, I am just still sometimes pinch myself because I was in a very, very, very long winter season, walking in hard places for years, and choosing to cling to God, choosing to die to self, choosing to do the hard thing, choosing to obey, you know, not that I did it perfectly, but, you know, just really clinging to the Lord. And now I'm seeing the fruit from that. And I'm in that spring season. So just a lot of this stuff has come to fruition in 2012. So looking ahead to 2013, what the Lord has.
Amen. God is able to do a quick work, and he's able to lift up a king in a day and take down a king in a day. So God can lift you up no matter what you've ever thought you may have missed in life. For anyone that's listening, God is able to raise you up in a day, if he so chooses, as long as you just be faithful, you trust him, you love him, and just let him guide your steps, and he's going to do some awesome things for those that are listening, and for Sherry as well, myself as well. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So just real quickly, how big of an influence was Phil Kagi in your life and music?
Oh, yes. Just wonderful. I mean, you know, I, for your listeners who are not clear on the connection, a lot of people think Phil Kagi's my dad, and I like to joke, my dad plays the accordion, but Phil, of course, plays the guitar, but I had married Phil's nephew, so I was Kagi by marriage, but so he's like Uncle Phil, so to speak, but yeah, super encouraging. In fact, when I had written these new songs and didn't know what to do with them, didn't know what the next step would be, you know, he said, Sherry, I want to help you with this album. You know, I'll help you. And I went to his house. He's got a studio in the basement. And, you know, the first step is to just get little demos of the songs, so you can kind of live with them and play them to potential producers, et cetera. And he helped me demo those just piano vocal songs. And he just so encouraged me because I felt really beaten down in my circumstance. And as I said, hadn't written songs for a long time, hadn't written new stuff, but I'd play a couple songs and I'd go down and we'd listen back in the studio. And I played this one song called Hello God and, you know, went down back to the studio and, cause the piano was in a different room and, I went down and he had tears streaming down his face, you know, and it just ministered to me so much to know that, you know, that God was giving me songs that had that much of an impact on someone who I admire and respect, you know, not only as a fellow brother in Christ who's, further along on the faith journey than I, but as a fellow musician, you know, who is passionate about music. And so he was just a huge encouragement to me and has been through many, many years and has played on several of my records. And he and his wife, Bernadette has been one of my, you know, mentors.
Amen.
Through the years. And he was kind enough to include, he recorded a beautiful acoustic piece at the close of this album. You know, I did a song called Romans 15:13, which is basically that scripture put to music, you know. And then he did the instrumental kind of postlude. But the verse is, I'd love to just read it
because
it's awesome. I'm just going to recite it. It's, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And that, you know, that's to me something, even in that verse, you know, it's talking about joy and peace and the God of hope and all of that. But tucked in the middle is, as you trust in him, is that phrase.
Amen.
You know, it comes back to trust. You know, how do we get the joy and the peace that, you know, that we know by scripture is ours as believers, is available to us as believers. It's as we trust in him.
Amen.
You know, as we trust in and that he's good, you know. And that's really, to shake down the Christian experience, it's a lot about that. It's a lot of fluctuating between fear and faith, but ultimately coming to trust that he is good and he is working things out on our behalf. So,
amen.
That was a long answer to a short question. But,
yeah, I had the privilege of meeting Phil at the NRB last year, and he was on my show. And he's just an amazing man, very loving, and just you could tell he just wants to do what Jesus wants him to do.
that's
the best way to describe him.
Exactly. And he's so, you know, he's so hugely talented.
Yes.
I mean, he is really known worldwide for his ability on the guitar, and yet you wouldn't know it by when you just, you know, he's a short man and he just has a beautiful humility. And I mean, that to me, I think is what, as much as his you know, virtuoso that draws people to him. And I love that about him.
Amen. Amen. Sherry, before we go, can you please give everybody your website information?
Yes. Pop by my website. It's like a wealth of stuff. There's video clips on there, and you can hear audio of the new album. And I blog every week. You can sign up, you know, for my newsletter, et cetera. But the address is sherrykagey.com. Simply, it's sherrykagey.com.
Amen. If you have any Facebook or Twitter you want to give out, you can do that as well.
Okay, yeah, there's a, I don't know the exact addresses, but, you know, you have to go, for Facebook, you have to go to the Sherry Kagey fan page. You have to put that in the search window, Sherry Kagey fan page, and like that page. And, you know, people follow me on Twitter, and I do tweet, but I'm a little technically challenged, so I don't often tweet back. Like, if someone tweets to me, I don't know what to do with it, you know?
I know.
But I'm putting tweets out there, nonetheless. So.
There's so many of these social medias. You know, sometimes I really don't like them, but they're necessary in our today's market. So
It is. And I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for, you know, the tools. You know, anything we can use for good or for bad, and I'm glad that we can take it for the kingdom, you know?
Amen. Give us your website one more time.
Yeah, sherrykagey.com.
All right, Sherry. I'll see you in about an hour on Skype. She'll be on our Midwatch TV show, and she'll be airing in a couple of weeks, but we're going to be pre-recorded today, and it's going to be awesome. Hey, I'll give you a holler later on. God bless you. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. We really enjoyed you.
You bet. Thanks, David.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Amen. And that was Miss Sherry Kagey. And we were excited because we knew she was going to bring in a great testimony. And did it not tie into the first segment that we did? And that's kind of rare sometimes. We don't usually have things tie in. And her, just her heart and going through what she's gone through and just believing in God. And I tell you what, 2012, I've seen several ministers come across this broadcast station that we have and on this show that we have, and I have seen a pattern. God is in the lifting up business. He is in the raising up business. He is in pulling you out of a calamity and getting you to the top of a situation business. He is. So please continue to pray, continue to trust in Him. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. And God bless you. My address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can go to Facebook as well. And Facebook / Rev David Yanez is my Facebook if you want to get a hold of me. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.